The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. So today, we'll just take off from where we stopped yesterday. Are you blessed yesterday? Remember where we are now is the glory of this letter house. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9. The glory of this letter house, the Bible says, shall be greater than the former. And the letter house he's talking about here in context is actually you. You are God's house. Glory to God. You are the actual house that God actually wants to build. And he has built for himself. So the believer in Christ Jesus houses God. The believer in Christ Jesus houses God. God lives in him. And we begin to see how we can display the glory of God that lives in us. And I want to say it again and again. It is not the right prayer of a believer to ask God to fill him with his glory. It might be a sincere prayer, but the prayer is not totally correct. The prayer may be sincere. It may come from a sincere heart, but it's not correct. I'll give you an example. When I got saved newly, I wanted to flow in the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And so I began to fast. I fasted for 9 weeks at a time. And each of the week was committed to asking God to give me one of the gifts of the Spirit. So there was a week I prayed for word of knowledge fully. There was a week I prayed for, you know, that was a very sincere request, but that's not very correct. A believer can spend time praying to be able to flow more, you know, to be able to, you know, express more what God has given him, but to pray to possess those things. A sincere request, yes, but a wrong one. You know, one of the greatest things the devil, why I keep saying this, one of the greatest things the devil wants to do to you, one of the greatest game of the devil from the onset, is to make you doubt divine facts. He wants to make you doubt divine facts. And when he gets you to a point where you doubt divine facts, okay, he will make you desire to possess what you already possess. If he gets to the point where you can doubt divine facts, you begin to desire to have what you already have. So he goes to Adam and Eve and says, if you eat this fruit, you will be in God's image. You will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Something God already preordained for Adam and Eve from time immemorial. So he got to them and made them believe that he has an alternative. And that's why there are people in church, for instance, who do not believe that God loves them. Who do not believe that they are righteous. Who do not believe that they are accepted by God. They don't believe all of those things. You know what the devil has done? He's trying to make them doubt those things. If you can get to the point where you can doubt those things, you now begin to desire to have what you already have or to be who you already are. So you see believers, you see many Christians who are hoping and praying to be sons of God. So he makes them feel, well, when you're a child of God, when you get born again, you're a child of God. As you grow, you become a son of God. So people are praying to become sons of God, something they already are. Are you following me this evening? Something they already are. You see, you're praying to be righteous. Something they already are. We are already righteous in Christ Jesus. But people are still praying to be righteous. So when I tell you things like, you don't pray prayers like, the glory of God, the glory of God. I need more of the glory of God. Well, it's not because I'm trying to say people doing it are wrong. I want you to see that this thing is already yours. I don't want you to know, want you to forget. Just like all these songs that sometimes we try correcting here, people sing songs like "Take Me to Where You Are." All those "I just want to be where you are. I want to be in your presence." All those songs are coming from a sincere place, but they're not correct. Because if you study the Bible, you find out that you are praying to have and to be what you already are. To have what you already have. And so one of the greatest things that I want to do to you is that you doubt divine facts. Are you still here? So you must, that's why understanding divine facts, who you are in Christ and the rest of them, is the foundation for every other thing you want to be in the body of Christ. It's the foundation. That's why I always say it this way. Whether you believe you are teaching new creation or old creation, whatever one you think you are teaching, New Testament or Old Testament, every sincere preacher has the same aim. They want Jesus to be formed in you. They want you to be a serious Christian. That's what everybody wants to achieve. The problem now is the route through which we get there. So, some preachers make you feel you are empty, you don't have anything, so you have to fight hard to become. But the message of the Bible is, you already are. You must fight to walk in what you are. So what I'm teaching today about, yesterday I was teaching about tongues, interpretation, and the rest of them. So some person would have wanted to teach that yesterday, and how we're going to close that prayer, that bit yesterday, is begin to pray to God and say, Father, fill me with the gift of interpretation of tongues. And they still want to achieve the same thing. I agree with what I'm saying? But I'm trying to show you that you don't have it. So you have to work out to have it. But that's not where the Bible stands. The Bible says you are. So you must walk as. Ephesians 5 verse 8. You were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is actually how to preach in the New Testament. This is how to preach conduct. This is how to preach prayer. This is how to preach everything. You see, this showed the past of the believer, the current state of the believer, and God's plan for the believer. So if I want to teach on, I want to teach on how to flow in spiritual things now. I capture the fact that before, you are sometime darkness. You couldn't do this because you are an unbeliever. This is exclusive for believers. But now are you light in the Lord? Now are you filled with the Spirit of God? Therefore, walk in the Spirit. Therefore, flow in the things of the Spirit. So I shouldn't say things like, you are not light. Try to be light so that you can now walk as light. No. So the teaching for the new creation man starts from realization of who he already is. Then a demand will now be placed on him to walk as he is. And the empowerment to walk the way you want him to walk will come from the fact that he already is that thing. I guess get what I'm talking about. He already is that thing. That's why Jesus says something, you know, in Matthew 11, 28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor, you know, and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Verse 29. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your soul. Verse 30. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So the demand that God places on us is easy. Do you know why they are easy? Because before he begins to demand from you, he has made you that thing. I get what I'm saying now. Because before he begins to say, thou shall not steal, he already has made you righteous, filled you with his ability, giving you everything that you need to be able to walk in thou shall not steal. So he says, my yoke is easy. So when God is saying, I want you to go and prophesy, it's an easy yoke to bear because he already has given you that spirit already. It would have been a very difficult yoke to bear if you are not full of the Spirit. You don't have anything. And God is saying, I want you to go and raise the dead. How? And that's how the Old Testament, that's why, Peter, yes, James, Peter, James, and the rest of them in Acts 15 referred to the law as a burden. He told them, why are you trying to put a burden on these Gentiles? A burden that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. You know why it's called a burden? Why is a burden? Because the Lord demands of you what you are not empowered to give. Demands of you what you are not empowered to walk in. So the Lord says, thou shall not kill. And then everybody begins to annoy you. And there is no empowerment to not kill. You just have to find a way to walk in it. You get the point? The New Testament, God still doesn't expect you to kill. But what does he first do? He fills you with his love. So that when he now says, thou shall not kill, He's placing a demand on an ability he has already put inside of you. Are you following me this evening? And so, when we are teaching on flowing in spiritual things, amen. Are you still here? When we are teaching on flowing in spiritual things, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, you know, we meet a believer and say, speak in tongues, you can pray in tongues. Because already, there is that empowerment, there is that Holy Spirit that's already living in the person. So it's now easy for the person to walk in whatever we are demanding that he walks in. Amen. So you see the way I think that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He said, if we live in the Spirit, which I've explained to you, the whole of Galatians 5 took time to show us that we live in the Spirit. So this actually is, since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, he's saying, I have made you something. Now walk as what I have made you. So it is not walk in the Spirit so that you can live in the Spirit. It is you live in the Spirit, therefore walk in the Spirit. So, as I'm coming to you and demanding you need to prophesy, you need to flow in spiritual things, it is because already the glory of God lives inside of you. Already the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Already the power of God tabernacles inside of you. Already you are one with the Spirit of God. Get the point. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that whosoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. So already you are one spirit with God. You joined with him. It means the Spirit of God is in you and you are in the Spirit of God. We are one with him. Glory to God. And because of that reality, we can now flow in spiritual things. This is why when we discuss flowing in spiritual things, never approach it as something that is difficult or impossible. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. There is nothing he ever tells you to do that he has not empowered you to do. It's only a foolish father and a wicked father who sends the children to do what he knows they are not able to do. And there is no plan, no empowerment. It's only a foolish senior in secondary school who will give you 30 naira and say, you should go and buy 5 okpa, 2 sprites, bottle of Sprite. Did they do that to you? Nobody could do that. Nobody did that to me. Did they do that to you? Did you do that to anybody? Huh? You know, why it doesn't make sense is because for you to ask me to go buy you okpa, you must give me an empowerment. That empowerment is the money. Enough money to be able to buy it. You get the point? So believers or preachers that deny that believers are righteous and yet are demanding of them to walk in righteousness are just like that senior sending you to go and buy okpa, 500 naira okpa with 30 naira, because they are trying to demand of you what I have not empowered you to do. God has made us righteous. He has filled us with the Spirit. So everything he's demanding of us, we've already been empowered to work and empowered to do. Sound full of the Holy Ghost. So let's talk in tongues. Why can I talk in tongues? Because you're already full of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So you house the glory of God. The glory of God lives inside of it. The Spirit of God, God himself lives in you. All of God. Colossians 2 verse 9 tells us, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in verse 10, it says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Glory to God. So yesterday we were looking at the utterance gifts of the Spirit. We looked at tongues. We looked at interpretation of tongues. And we stopped at 1 Corinthians 14 verse 13. Where the Bible says, let him that speaking in tongues, let him pray that he may interpret. That he may interpret. And we saw how to do that yesterday. Okay, and again, I reminded you, interpretation of tongues is actually bringing what was said in that spiritual language unknown. So when you hear, we hear this, when we refer to tongues as unknown tongues, hear this. When the verse talks as unknown tongues, it is not unknown because it cannot be known. It is just unknown to your human mind and to human beings that will hear it. It is not unknown to the Spirit of God. And can I add, it's not unknown to your spirit man. So we call it unknown. It's not because it cannot be known. It's just unknown to a certain people and a certain realm. So the mind, it is unknown to the mind. So actually to the Spirit of God, it is known tongues. It's something he knows and understands. So when you see 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, it says, him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him. So who is tongues unknown to? Man. How be it in the spirit, he speaketh me, so the spirit understands what he's saying. So he refers to what he's saying as mysteries. Now, when we say something is a mystery, okay, when we say something is a mystery, it doesn't mean that thing is mysterious. It doesn't mean it is unknowable. It's just a mystery to a certain people. For instance, when you see a certain cult group gather, some of these cult groups have their languages. You know, right? So they can be communicating. It says, how do they have their languages? Don't worry. I just know. Don't worry. They can be communicating. They have names for even different cities. They can be discussing your city, Enugu, now. And you don't know they're talking about you. And they use all their coded language. So they have their coded language. So to you, it's a mystery. To them, it's not a mystery. So in the spirit, you are speaking mysteries. But it is not mystery to the spirit. It is mystery to man. So man calls it unknown tongue. I get the point. So every tongue you speak has a meaning. It just does not have a meaning to you. You get the point? To your mind. So in interpretation of tongues, you are, you know, trying to give, no, you're not trying to give meaning, rather. You are trying to get to the meaning of what you already, what they're saying. Because there is a meaning for everything I'm speaking in tongues. It's just that sometimes, like I said this day, you actually don't need to know the meaning. Because that is where tongues is just a prayer language. You're just communicating with God over a matter. Do you understand? So I'm just saying, so that in your personal prayer life, you don't have to begin to try to do interpretation every time you're praying personally in your room. It's not actually necessary. But if it is necessary and you're praying in tongues in your room, if it's necessary that God wants you to know whatever, he's going to bring that meaning to your spirit. So look at it this way now. That's why you can actually pray every and any prayer in tongues and you'll be correct. Every prayer, any prayer can be prayed in tongues. You get the point? Go to verse 15. Verse 15. He said, I will, what is it then? I will bless with the Spirit, and I will pray with the Spirit, rather. I'll pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with understanding also. Verse 16. Else, watch this. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. What does it mean by bless with the Spirit? Talk with me. What does it mean? To pray in the Spirit, right? To pray in tongues. He said, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? He's saying, the man that is unlearned around you, how will he respond and say amen even when you are giving thanks? Look at what I wanted to see. He says, seeing he understands what I've said. Verse 17 is key. For thou verily givest thanks well. He's saying what you are speaking in tongues is always correct. But just that when you keep it at the realm of tongues, the other person will not be edified. So this is to say to you, one of the easiest ways to pray over any matter is to pray about it in tongues. Bring up the matter, begin to pray in tongues about it. You can never be wrong. Never. That is the answer to all this. You are praying amiss. That's the answer. You can't pray amiss praying in tongues. And if you've been taught on interpretation very well, as you pray in tongues, somewhere in the midst of the prayer you're praying in tongues, you begin to get words in your spirit, which is actually what to pray about over that matter. Look at what I mean. There is somebody in church, and it's been coming to your heart to pray for this sister. Pray for this sister. You don't even know why. Anytime you see her, you have that body. Just speak that sister's name. Thelma. Begin to pray in tongues. Father, I pray for Thelma. Shabba, rakata, laba, pray, take, take, 10 minutes, 15, 20. Now, you might finish praying and get nothing. But sometimes in the midst of the prayer, you now begin to realize, just like I showed you yesterday, a thought concerning her finance begin to rise. Remember I showed you yesterday? Begin to rise. Finance. Or about her marriage. Or about her relation. Whatever. It begins to rise. You now know, okay, this is what I'm actually dealing with. You now begin to pray in that direction. So that's the easiest way to pray for any matter. Amen. So I'm trying to show you there is nothing you say in tongues that is not correct. There is nothing you say in tongues that does not have meaning. Just that to you might not know the meaning. At least to your mind. But it has a meaning in the spirit. So in the interpretation of tongues, you are trying to find and get to the meaning of whatever we are speaking. Knowing that we are not making empty sounds when we pray in tongues. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So we are not making empty sounds when we pray in tongues. Hallelujah. So it's important we learn that this is actually what you can practice. And one of the things that will help you with tongues and interpretation is that you practice it often. Practice interpretation of tongues often. Pray in tongues a lot. Interpret it a lot. And I was saying yesterday, in your personal, even as you're praying, once in a while, because that's one of the things that helps you flow better in spiritual things, once in a while, you and your friends can gather and begin to interpret tongues. If we had time, I don't know that we'll have time for that today. Because there are sometimes in Christian meetings too, watch what I'm going to show you. There are sometimes in Christian meetings too, that's why you have to be trained, where God can give me a message in tongues, but at that moment, not give me the interpretation. When that happens, what it means is that someone in that audience has the interpretation to that tongues. Thank you for the cross. I get what I'm saying? Someone has it. Glory to God. You see what we did yesterday, where I told each of them to speak in, to pray in tongues and give the interpretation, and they all did. If I had brought another believer who is well trained and asked them to interpret that tongue that this one is speaking, they would have given the same interpretation. That's actually the order of believers' meeting. So that if at all anybody comes before a crowd and is doing shakabarabadaba, but he's not well trained, doesn't actually know. But he's just praying tongues. Somebody should be able to come up, take the mic from him and say, what he's actually trying to say is this, this, and this. I get to the point. In one of those meetings, Brother Hagin was doing a meeting and he made an altar call. He said, if you're here, there's an anointing, he wants to pray, he wants to release people, that if you're a minister of the gospel in active ministry, you should come out and all of that. And you know this idea of every believer is a minister. You know that thing. So everybody just, many people came out and stood in front. Many people came out. So when Brother Hagin carried the mic to actually, I think that was in South Africa, so carried the mic to actually pray, he just held the mic and went into tongues. Just pray. I think it was somewhere in the middle. I think it was either the wife or the son, I can't remember vividly, that came up and picked the mic and said, what dad is trying to say is, this anointing is not for everybody. It is for people in active ministry. So if you're not in active ministry, a pastor, a leader, or whatever, you can return back to your seat. I get what I'm saying? That was beautiful ministry there. And people that obeyed. People that need to obey, of course. You get the point? So that was a place where the man had a message in tongues, but then the interpretation was another person. Are you learning what I'm saying now? Remember again, we can do all of this because we are the house of God. And the glory of God lives in us. Glory to God. So once in a while, you can call your friends and you guys just pray and interpret together. You pray. Let me interpret. When you are done, I pray. You interpret. That's how to get better and efficient. I know why it's always good to practice spiritual things in small gatherings like that with your friends is that that's where you have a lot of liberty to make your mistakes. Do you understand? And when I look at your neighbor and say, I hear something. is your sister Agnes? He said, no, I don't have any sister. It's okay in that kind of environment to make those kind of mistakes. At least you're sharpening yourself in that kind of environment. I know what I'm talking about. That's one of the greatest things God has to bless you with. If you're going to do well with flowing in spiritual things, is right company. The right company where you guys can practice spiritual things together. Together. And can I say this to you? If you have that kind of company, one of the things you've done for yourself is that you've set up a major boundary around yourself that cannot be broken. A major structure around yourself that God will use to reach you. Because you already know that your friends hear from God. It will be easy for God to go through them to reach you whenever he needs to. Are you learning something? Are you getting blessed? Glory to God. Do you want to shout a big amen this evening?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so this is interpretation. So let's touch prophecy. Let's touch prophecy. Amen. And so prophecy is, now I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say. It's so much, so important. That's why I want to give the rest of today to it. There are no more important spiritual gifts, quite all right. But there are gifts that are actually more important than others in a sense and in certain places. For instance, the gift of prophecy is the most important gift in the church. And I'm going to show you this in the Bible. Is the most important. And I will tell you why as we proceed. Of all the utterance gifts, it's actually so important. Prophecy. So by the time you read your Bible, for instance, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, where Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. What is the best gift he was referring to? He was referring to the gift of prophecy, actually. And it's not hard to see. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:31. He said, covet earnestly the best gift. In verse chapter 13, he said, yet should I you a more excellent way. He began to talk about walking in love and all of that. In chapter 14, he now came back to what he was saying and began to talk about the gift of prophecy. So the whole of 1 Corinthians 14 actually was dedicated to talking about the gift. So look at this. Remember in verse 31 of chapter 12, he said, covet earnestly. Talk to me. Covet earnestly. What did he say next? Yet shew I you a more excellent way. That's chapter 12, 31. What is that more excellent way? What is that more excellent way? The next chapter. You see, don't study. Bear it in mind. The Bible wasn't written in chapters. The only book of the Bible that was originally written in chapters like that was the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, you know. You get the point. The book of Psalms was written as a letter, but the Bible was originally written in chapters. So Paul did not think that there will be chapter 12, chapter 13. So in chapter 12, he said, in chapter 12, verse 31, he said, let me show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way of doing what? Look at this verse. A more excellent way of doing what? Look at it. You get it? A more excellent way of doing what? Of converting the best gifts. Is that okay? Then in chapter 31, in chapter 13, he now began to talk about, if I speak in tongues of men and all of that, I have not love. That's charity. So he used the whole of chapter 13 to talk about love. So love is the more, I'll think of that later. Love is the more excellent way of actually flowing in spiritual things. So in chapter 14 verse 1, he picks up with the same thought he dropped in chapter 12 verse 31. Where, because chapter 12 verse 31, he said, covet earnestly. He now came to chapter 14 and continued from there. He said, follow after charity. That is chapter 13 summarized. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So the best gift was telling them to covet in chapter 12 is that they should prophesy. See NLT of this. You live in the transition of this. Let love be your highest goal. But you should desire also You should also desire the special abilities of the Spirit, the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. So the gift of prophecy is so important in the church. Probably like I'm the five classic of this. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments that gives, especially that you may prophesy, that you may interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. So he's saying the greatest of spiritual gifts that you should desire, especially in the church, is that you may prophesy. So it's so important. Because actually, I'm raising this because for most of us, that's the least desired. Which gift do you want to flow in? So I want to be able to see and call names and people's phone number. I want to be able to raise the dead. Paul is saying, desire earnestly that you may prophesy. This is a very important spiritual gift that you should be able to learn how to flow in. It's that important. And I'm going to show why it's important. Glory to God. Put up like message. Message didn't use the word prophecy, but the same message. He said, go after a life of love as if that depended on it, because it does. Give yourself to the gifts of God, the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim his truth. So he refers to prophecy as trying to proclaim his truth. So we're going to look at the gift of prophecy very shortly. Because the gift of prophecy is so important, especially when we gather as a church. So let's switch to King James. Let's all read this. This is a long read, but it's a good thing to read the Bible, right? Just think about what we are reading as we begin to read. So let's go. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, promises very shortly. So he's beginning to show us why prophecy is important. Now, let's continue. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. For he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So let me ask you, to you as an individual, which is more important in your personal life, tongues or prophecy? Tongues. Look at that verse 4. But to the church, which is more important? Prophecy. I get what I'm saying. So when he says this is more important, he's not talking about that some gifts are not important as the others. He's talking about it in different places. In the church, prophecy should be the most desired and the most frequent gift that flows in any local church. And please, prophecy is not that there is somebody here, your name is Emeka. No, that's not what I'm saying, no. That one, we'll address it later. That one is the gift called the gift of word of knowledge. Do you understand? I'll come to that very shortly. Well, so prophecy is simply, supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Just like tongues is supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. So prophecy is to speak inspired by the Spirit that brings edification, that brings comfort, that brings exhortation. That's prophecy. So I speak by the Spirit and I give us by the Spirit to edify, to exhort, to comfort, and all of that. So let's continue with our reading. Let's go together. Start reading again. I will that ye all speak with tongues. So it's not against tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except to interpret that the church may receive. Since when we are in church, except you're interpreting your tongues is not as important for us in church when you're trying to bless us. So you see why prophecy is so important. Now, we're going to see something as we proceed now. Go to verse 6. So you begin to see how prophecy is important. Continue. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I speak to you by either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. So you see what blesses the church. Go to that verse 6. It talks about knowledge. It talks about revelation. It talks about prophesying. It talks about doctrine. You will later find out that when prophecy is in full display, all of this will manifest. Revelation will be there. Knowledge will even happen. Doctrine, there is even teaching as people are giving prophecy. We're going to look at that shortly. Are you still here? So he's saying, if I just come to speak in tongues, but I say, you're not going to be blessed. Continue verse 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? He said, okay, continue verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? You see the point? If all we have in church is tongues, and God is trying to prepare us for battle, how are we going to respond? We don't even know what God is trying to say. All we have is just shaka bada bada. We don't know. You get the point? So it is via that gift of prophecy and interpretation of tongues that what God is actually trying to say to us will come to us. Because he's trying to use trumpet, because in those days, if a nation is about to go to war, the watchman will stand on the watchtower and the different trumpet sounds mean different things. There's a sound that they're going to blow, it means war. And the sound that they're going to blow, for instance, it means celebration. I get what I'm saying. Even in Nigeria, I'm telling you. There's a trumpet sound in Nigeria, for instance, that means that coup has taken place. Do you understand? But don't worry, you will not experience it. Glory to God. But if the trumpet just blows out, we don't actually know what it is saying. So there could be war, but the trumpeter made a mistake. You understand? And just blew something else. That's how tongues actually can appear when there is no interpretation. Continue verse 9. So likewise ye, continue, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Are you following? Quickly. I need your voice. Let's go. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in this world, and none of them is without what I'm going to teach on this particular verse. That's why you have to pay attention to how you hear things. There are familiar things. There are many voices in this world. All of them have what they mean. We'll get there. Maybe somewhere in this series. Right? Continue. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to what? Edify. So what does he mean by edifying of the church? The gift of prophecy. I get what I'm saying. So you should seek that you should do more prophecy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because many people actually don't actually see the gift of prophecy as anything today. Actually, in the church. Say, well, I prophesy. Say, he's just there. But if you just say, a cripple walk, they say, wow! What kind of miracles is important? We're going to see the importance. But let me tell you, see, when we gather like this, it is better that the gift of prophecy is working in our midst more than that healing is working here. Because by the time we go into it, when prophecy is in full operation, healings will follow. I agree what I'm saying. Healings will follow. Now, continue. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray. So you see how we came up to this statement? You see how we got here? Okay, continue. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray. So what he's saying is, when I pray in tongues, I will interpret it. So by interpreting it, you're also prophesying. Are you seeing that interpretation of tongues and prophecy are almost the same thing, but not entirely? Almost, but not entirely. Why is not entirely is this? Most times when you interpret tongues, you have prophesied. But you can prophesy without praying in tongues. I know what I'm saying. Should I say it again? When you pray in tongues and interpret it, most times you prophesy. But someone can actually prophesy without praying in tongues. For instance, the prophets in the Old Testament were prophesying, but they were not They were not praying in tongues. So I can actually stand here without saying any shakabara and just start speaking by the Spirit. I don't get the point. But then, all he's saying is, either you are prophesying, or you're interpreting tongues, because it will all arrive at the same point. Do you get what I'm talking about? But it's more important. So he said, whenever I pray with the Spirit, I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with understanding. This is the verse. This is why, this I've explained to you so far, is the reason why I do not approve and I will never support a music minister or whatever he's called that comes to the stage to sing and sings funny, funny things that we don't understand. Even if it is singing in tongues, I don't approve it. The Bible doesn't approve it. Even if you say what I'm speaking is I speak singing in tongues, make sure that when you are done singing in tongues, you must sing with the Spirit. Else, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? That's verse 16 I just quoted now. Verse 16. That's what he's trying to say. When I say blessed with the Spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned? So when you start and start saying, Shambrele, Embredeya, Embredede, everybody can be excited and shouting, oh, shakakakaba. But we are not being edified because God doesn't tell you what you are saying. And maybe God has actually given you something for us, but we're not getting it. Because Paul said, you are like a barbarian to me. You saw it, Abby? And I'm like a barbarian. We are just all talking. So every time you come to the stage and you sing in tongues, please sing in your understanding. That is how edification can happen. When you are singing in tongues, you are defying yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're actually going to go to the studio to record it, for people to play in their houses, no, you can't record tongues. Record interpretation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you following me? That's why as you begin to grow in your walk with God, some things don't excite you again. I'm telling you. When I was growing up, a man of God was talking one day, a singer. He said, you know that there's an album. Thank God that album never came out. There's an album we are going to do very soon. The album is about how many tracks he mentioned. All of them are in tongues. And the crowd went wild. Aya! Me too, I went wild. But I went wild a little then. I started thinking, how do we sing this song? I don't get the point. It's not an exciting thing. It shouldn't excite you. You can get a full song in tongues. Maybe tomorrow, if God allows me, I'm going to talk on how to flow in spiritual songs fully. Because anybody can, believer, unbeliever, if God allows me to do that tomorrow. You can get a full song in tongues. And then get it in English. That's how you can edify us. If not, you are just entertaining yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible said you are building up yourself. You are speaking to yourself. But if you are going to use it for the purpose of blessing people, put it in English. So Paul said, I will sing with it. So Paul was also singing in the Spirit. But when he's done, he brings it to interpretation. Are you what I'm saying? So when you hear me say things like, I have an issue with all these things people are chanting all over the place. Because the problem with the chant is that sometimes the chant is not even tongues. I'm even singing in tongues. You are not allowed to sing in tongues and not bring it to English. Not to talk of now chanting. Do a full song. All you are doing is ya, 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 yo, 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 yo. Everybody's praying. Shaka, shaka, yo, 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 yo. No, sir. Don't do that. Don't do it. You're not praising God. That's not praise of the praise of God. Because you need to realize that Christian music is not about the beat. It's not about the rhythm of the song. A spiritual song can be rap. I know what I'm saying. It can be rap. A spiritual song can be, what are all these genres of music? It can have the hip-hop flow. Do you understand? Now, let me say something. Yeah, I need to say this. It can have the hip-hop flow, but I do not agree and approve of, I don't agree with the fact that a Christian musician can go to an existing hip-hop song, get the beat of that hip-hop song, and now put Christian lyrics there. What is wrong with you? Where are you getting your inspiration from? Just like when Makosa came out. You know Makosa now? What's that Makosa thing? Hi. Remind me, come on, you know what I'm saying? That's when they turned... What was that? So Holy Spirit didn't have song to give you again. You just went and listen. So you are listening to our willow
and God spoke to you. That's interesting. No. So I have nothing with whatever reading you want, but of course it can't be. Come on. It shows you must have slept so much on that particular beat, that particular song, for you to now be able to. No. I don't think it's necessary. God still gives songs. Yeah, genuine songs. Praise, worship, whatever you call it, fast, slow, God gives those things. And you can pray in tongues and you can get them. Amen. So Paul is saying, if I'm praying with the Spirit, I will also pray with understanding in church. If I'm singing with the Spirit, I also sing with understanding. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? See, he understandeth not what thou sayest. That already begins to tell you that being edified or being blessed in Christian meeting has a lot to do with understanding and not emotions. This I said is very important. Because sometimes when I see people come on comment sessions of some ministration and say, I was blessed, I'm wondering, what blessed you? You didn't hear nothing. Being blessed has to do with understanding. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Why is not edified? Because he doesn't understand what you are saying. So every time you gather and you are singing and we don't know what you are saying, we are not being blessed. Let me see, this is not emotions. It's not about being excited. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? Let me say this to you. A very good singer who has trained himself well, put him on strings on the keyboard. He knows what to do without saying anything serious. And all of you will be on the floor crying. Do you understand? It doesn't mean you are blessed. Paul said they are not edified. I say if Paul comes to our generation to preach, he will first smash the mic before he starts. Because he is saying when we sing in tongues or pray in tongues, and you don't understand, you're not edified. In our generation, we can do a full night. We do not learn nothing, but we are blessed. How were you blessed? What do you understand by I was blessed? No wonder I'm going to be teaching on I was blessed. And I'm not joking, I actually have a note on it. I was. So when you say, I was blessed in the meeting, you know what you're saying? What do you mean by I was blessed? Did that meeting blessed me? So you tell the person, what did you learn? What did they preach? Well, I don't even remember, but I was really blessed, for real. So what did you learn? 10 years of life has been a blessing. Wow. What have you been learning? I don't even know what pastor used to say, but I was really blessed. So, music minister, when you are singing, the blessing is in the words you are saying. So if you are singing and we can't hear what you are saying, we are not getting blessed, even if we are shouting on top of our voice. You get the point? That's why all these people that want to sing and they start singing with phonetics and, you know, that, have you ever heard someone sing? Did you hear it in the sang? Oh, how good it is! I said, woo! Woo! I have a problem with that. That's not, you're not getting blessed. You are just getting blessed. And to prove to you that you're not getting blessed, anybody can do that thing. That is just very skilled with singing. Amen. You know, there was this, God needs to help you. You know, there are some secular songs that you can pray with. If you don't listen to the lyrics very well. Has it ever happened to you? Any say the truth? Has it ever happened to you? What song is that? Tell me. I don't even know that one. That one is singing God. All of me. You prayed with all of me. Ah! Glory to God. Just playing. There's a shakakarakataya. But that's what I'm thinking about. It's a high life song. Do you know this? Sorry, I'm going to sing high life in church. Okay. Do you know this? Eluankae. You know that song? Eluankae. Sing with me. Eluankae. I heard someone praying with this song. And I'm not joking. Went for mission work. Real life story. The girl was just in her room. I was laughing. It was really very funny. So after I met her, I said, what were you doing? So I was praying. I said, wow. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the person will come out feeling so blessed and edified. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. A Christian song does not bless you because they play it on strings. It is what exactly we said or what you heard that has blessed you. That's the same reason why prophecy is so important in the church. That when we get messages, a full song in tongues, we should be able to sing it. And either we or another should be able to come out and interpret it in English. So that for real, we will now be blessed. So it's actually not spirituality to come and minister and a full song in tongues. It shows you are still a baby Christian. If you're a mature Christian, you should sing in English or Igbo or Yoruba or Hausa or Ibibio. You must sing in what we can hear. Are you following me this evening? Sorry about that. So for that very give us thanks well, but the other is not edified. So edification is lacking. It doesn't mean what you are doing is wrong. Thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So verse 18. And I said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Continue. Let's go together. Continue. Yet in the church. 5 words with my understanding. That by my voice I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. It's not me saying, it's Paul talking. So don't think we are, you can just like castigating people that do all those spirituals. Mm-mm. Paul is defining the real spirituality for us here. Amen. So Paul is saying, 5 words I said in English. Something like, you are righteous in Christ. 5 words that I say to you is better than 10,000. It's more important, at least in our Christian gathering, because that's how you'll be blessed. So can I also say that simple song that you are singing, you know, it's always a simple song. That simple song you are singing about who we are in Christ is much more blessing than the complicated tongues and chants that we are doing. Are you what I'm talking about here? Please learn what I'm saying. So when you go to a meeting, you know what you're looking for. I tell you the truth, and I'm not saying this because we hold worship concerts here, but worship meetings. But an open air stuff, everybody was just doing and doing. Ah. I left that at around 2 a.m. Yes. It was such an excitement because it was not, people were getting, maybe people got healed, you know, and very excited. But we must be able to know what. That's to tell you again that if we are singing high praise and you are dancing and you can't hear what we are singing, you are not getting blessed. Because you have to hear what you are dancing to. If not, there's no difference between your dance and dancing in the club. What makes rejoicing in the spirit, what makes dancing in the spirit, is what you are dancing to. Because the same way you shout when Barcelona scores a goal is the same kind of shout you produce when spiritual things are happening. The question is, what are you shouting about? What are you shouting to? I know what I'm talking about. Do you realize if this is your dance step, if that's playing a secular song and you're dancing this dance, this is dancing in the flesh. But if that playing a spiritual song and you're still dancing the same dance, you're dancing in the spirit. It is what you are singing to or we are dancing to. And that's why I want to say, that's why I don't know why God is pushing. I've not even started talking about this prophecy thing. I don't think it makes any sense that you can bring any kind of dance step into the church during praise and worship. Let me tell you, not just that we're trying to be pure and all of that. If you are actually thinking deeply about the lyrics of the song you are dancing to, you can't dance some kind of dance steps. Do you know what I'm saying now? We are singing, I know who God says I am. Very powerful song. Oh, he says I am. If you are really thinking about this, you won't be shaking your bum bum.
Yeah, he says that, man.
You can't do that. If you're actually thinking about it, that's why every dance step is not for the church.
I'm ready to do. I'll transfer the Holy Ghost. We did. That's why, you see, let me tell you, there are some things you do here, we can send you out. You can. Don't do that. It just means that. And you know why I learned this thing from Brother Hagin? Brother Hagin will literally say, hey, stop that, stop that. You're dancing in the flesh. Stop, for real. Stop that, that's dancing in the flesh. Because we're actually dancing in the flesh. They are just excited. Because we have been able to replace the things of the spirit with excitement. What is excitement? You say, woo! Glory! Mm-mm. What are we rejoicing to? What are we happy about? And I say this all the time. We bring Brother Jeremiah now. You see, he's going to come and sing. Brother Jeremiah stands here and is singing. Who is the musician I like very well now? Huh? I don't know if I like him. Who do I like very well? I don't know if I like him. Who do I like very, very well? I don't know if I like him still. Okay. Maybe this guy is here singing, you know. Let me use, because if I use a Nigerian guy, it looks like I'm, let me just, they're singing, doing a hill song stuff. Give me, what popular hill song do I have now? Spirit lead me where my trust. He's doing it. We don't be watching him. Saying, yeah, let me rock upon the waters. This guy, they try shout forever. You see the problem? Now, after he's done singing, I say, glory to God. Big surprise, church. Hillsong, they are in the house and they come up stage. We will go wild with excitement. They start singing that same song that he sang. We will not be lying down, rolling on the floor. We are just responding to fame. We are not spiritual people. Did you know what I said? We are not spiritual in any way. We are just excited that it's not the same song you were singing. If actually you are interested in the lyrics, why not get excited when you're singing it? Do you get what I'm saying? I'm being very sincere. Respond to the words and not who is standing on stage. That's what I want to say to you. As you begin to progress in your walk with God, even as a church, you have to realize praise and worship is not to entertain you. You are not the one being worshipped. You are not the audience of praise and the audience of worship. You are not. The audience of praise and worship is God. It's God we are singing. It is what he wants us to sing now that we will sing. So don't say, I don't like that song. You're not meant to like it. You know what I said? You're not supposed to like praise. Touch your neighbor, say, you're not supposed to like praise. Tell the person. You shouldn't like it. What is there exciting about? Are you the one we are singing to? Just like I go to my father. And I'm thanking my father. I say, Daddy, I want to celebrate you. You're just a good man. And you are standing aside. I say, I don't like the you know what I'm talking to? What's your business? You don't have to like it. You're just there. So what the worship leader is doing is leading us. That as he's telling God, you'll be telling God too. We worship God. We praise God. We are not trying to excite or entertain people. So even, am I against dancing? No. But as you are dancing, make sure you're not just dancing to the beat, you are dancing to the lyrics. So I don't be singing Eluankao and speaking in tongues. God bless you. God bless you. Say amen. Glory to God. So verse 20. Let's just see if we can wind down. Brethren, be not children in understanding. I'm just telling you. How be it in malice, be ye children. But in understanding, be men. Understand what I'm saying to you. If the law is written with men of other tongues and other lips, will I speak unto these people? Yeah, yet for all that they will not hear me, said the Lord, verse 22. Wherefore, watch, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. For prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So when believers gather, it is prophets that should serve them. I guess what I'm talking about here.
prophecy should serve us when we gather. The unsaved world, they need a sign. Tongues, maybe healing, miracles, raising the dead. What should serve us when we gather is prophecy. Now, see what he says further in verse 23. If therefore the whole church, just like we were here, and we were here yesterday. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? You say, imagine we are held with shakabarabaraba. They'll say you are mad. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged. So I'll still get to that. You see that prophets can also play a role in the life of an unbeliever. We are seeing that very shortly. Down verse 25, let's stop there. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he worshiped God and reported that God is in you of a truth. Glory to God. So look at what we've been able to gather so far. 1 Corinthians 14, 3 to 5 shows us that prophecy is to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. So the purpose of prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. But not only this, we're going to say more. So go to verse 3, come on quickly. Edification, verse 3 to 5, verse 3. Yes, edification, exhortation, and so let's see how other translations render this verse. So King James said edification and all of that. What did NLT say? Strengthens others, encouragement, okay, and comfort. I'm trying to show you what happens whenever we want to prophesy. So when you are done prophesying, ask yourself, have I strengthened? Have I encouraged? Have I comforted? Next translation. Amplify Classic. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies, seeing that his divine will and purpose in his spiritual and teaching, speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. So when you are speaking by prophecy, you are attempting to build people up. You see why I said, coming to somebody telling them that pursuing you in your village is not prophecy, because it has not encouraged, edified, or built the person up. That may be word of knowledge, you just got a word. But if you are going to encourage the person, it must come to best by prophecy. So even when word of knowledge comes to us, if certain words come to us in church, we must come to that person by prophecy. That's how the person can be blessed. Do you get what I'm saying now? Yeah. Because for real, telling me that pursuing in my village has not changed anything about me. You just gave me an information that I possibly know or don't know. It changes nothing. And I'm not downplaying word of knowledge, because tomorrow, honestly, I'm going to come to word of knowledge. And we will dwell there, we will celebrate, we will learn how to flow in it. Are you what I'm talking about, friends? We will, but then I'm trying to show you what prophecy is. Probably like another translation. Legit message, everybody. But when you proclaim his truth in a video speech, you're letting others in on the truth so that they can grow and be strong and experience his. So it's about getting better, getting stronger, getting comforted, being built up. That's what prophecy does. Now, if you go to verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 14, so we've seen three purposes of prophecy, but this is not the only thing prophecy does actually. So read it to me, everybody. Do you have your voice? Come on, give it. For ye may all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn. And so actually, there is also learning that can happen in prophecy. I can stand there to prophesy. Like if you look at some of the prophetic words we gave yesterday, there was doctrine in it. There are places where the person will explain a few things. Amen. I said amen. Just give an example of a song we sing here. Maybe all this, my heart is stayed on God's word. He keeps me in perfect peace. You know, that song is not just, that song has, in fact, the song is a full message. It can teach you. It's a song, it's prophecy actually. It's tongues interpreted. But then, it can contain
learning too. So there is learning. Put up another translation. NLT, quickly. We don't have time for that. Okay, let's go together. So there is learning. So prophecy can bring knowledge. So actually somebody can prophesy and that doctrine can even come into prophecy. You get the point? So somebody is prophesying about fear and goes, you know, so don't not be afraid because fear always comes to weaken you. Fear always comes. But it's really teaching you something about fear already. So prophecy, there is learning. You're almost seeing why it's always important in believers meeting that prophecy must happen. In fact, let me say this to you. What I'm doing now, in a sense, is prophecy. Preaching, in a sense, is prophecy. Just that this one, I plan the message. But there are times where I begin to speak, you just find me saying something I didn't even plan to say, some things I didn't plan to tell you, but then it's coming and somebody's getting blessed. This is the most constant gift that should flow in the church. But it's almost the most neglected and most despised in the church. Because we want dramatic things. We want spectacular things. We want to see that when we are here, oh, somebody is calling somebody's name at the back. The simple gift of prophecy just edifies, exhausts, comforts, and there is learning. Are you still here? But then again, in fact, another thing is if you go further with this gift of prophecy, you also find out that there are times when it might even go beyond learning and beyond edification and begin to reveal personal details here and there. For instance, that 1 Corinthians 14, that verse 23, 24, and 25. You know, it tells us that when the learned comes in among us, that if we are all prophesying, that the secrets of his heart will be made manifest. So if we are prophesying now, by prophecy, we can begin to say things that you didn't know that you didn't even tell anybody. Just like I'm prophesying to you, and maybe, you know, I think we're having a meeting some time ago. I think that was a CF meeting here. Having Duxa, this last Duxa. And then I was ministering by the Spirit that day. And then there was this very lady, you know, every time, I think she might even be following this meeting now. Every time, first day she sat here, I looked at her as I was preaching. I looked at her and I saw she was smiling following the meeting, but I saw tears in her eyes. I don't know if you remember this particular experience that day. I looked at her, I saw tears in her eyes. So I ignored it first day. Second day, so the third day when I was ministering, I just walked up to her and gave a prophetic word. Now, I didn't know what it was. But it was so clear to her. I think I said something about, I can't remember exactly what I said. I can't remember. But in the light, I gave that, she ran through this place. She was crying. She fell. Now, the first thing is, how did I get to know? Actually, when I was given that prophetic word, I didn't know anything about anything. That's why you can call somebody by the Spirit and look at the person and say, you know what's happening? God is going to fix it. The person is wondering, how did you know that there's something God wants to fix in my life? You get the point? So the person is encouraged. The person is edified. So it's actually to speak inspired utterance by the Spirit. To speak by the Spirit. Are you following me? Just begin to speak as God gives you utterance. As God gives you utterance. That's why don't hold back to prophesy. Bible said, forbid not to prophesy. Forbid not to prophesy. Don't hold yourself back. When those words rise in your spirit, give them. Because, you know, and sometimes you have to be okay with the simple gift of prophecy, even when there is no revelation. Because I'm saying this for a reason. Many of us, when I say, hold your neighbor, give the person a word. You always want your word to contain some kind of word of knowledge or word of wisdom. Yeah, you always want to see, and that's where familiar spirits take over, because they're trying to force something to come where there is nothing. Say, you know, there is something in your family. You really don't have to do all of that. If what is just coming is a simple gift of prophecy that is just edifying, encouraging the person, go ahead and give it. It will resonate with the person. Paul is saying, when it is just prophecy giving, it will bless, it will edify, it will comfort. So I'm telling you to speak with someone and just, so we're just preaching to someone, I talk to a person and something just sense to say this. Glory to God. Just begin to say to the person, you know, I would give an example. If I start that, we might just lose the meeting. We might get to another thing. I want to say something else.
But just say this, 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 and that. And it has no personal revelation. It does not contain any forensic anything. But it's prophesied. You get the point? It can bless. It can bless. And this is what is going to happen is, actually, even though prophecy when it comes doesn't contain revelation as any special detail, but that doesn't contain that details to you. So that person you are speaking to, he has a lot of details, but the person knows what you are talking about. I get to the point. He knows what you are talking about. And why it's so beautiful is that when we are believers gathered like this, and we are prophesying, if I give you a prophet, if I just come to you and by the Spirit and tell you, be comforted, everything is going to turn around. You see, because you're a believer in this meeting, you will get exactly what I'm trying to talk about in your spirit. You will know. He says, what if a guy has many problems? He will know exactly what the Spirit of God is talking about in his spirit at that moment. He will know. You get the point? So prophecy is such a beautiful thing. So you see what it does? It edifies, it exhorts, it comforts. It can also bring learning. It can also bring doctrine, teaching. Amen. So when these words come to you, you begin to speak them. Remember again, I said prophecy is an utterance gift. So it means it's something you have to say. It's not just about knowing something. It actually begins to flow when you begin to speak. You know what I said? So listen to how prophecy flows. Sometimes, just like I told you about tongues yesterday, sometimes you can start off with a word. You don't actually know where you're going to end with the word. But it's just coming. Sometimes it can even be poetic. It can just come like that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's such a beautiful thing to flow in gifts of prophecy. It looks very normal. But it is not normal to us. Paul said that's the most important thing that you should excel in when you are among believers. So that's why one gift that anybody called into the pastoral office must excel in is the prophet, is prophecy. The reason is because he's always talking to believers. I get the point. Let me say this to you. It is more valuable for the church that a pastor comes to the church by prophecy than that he comes to the church by word of knowledge. Every day calling their names, saying, you come out. This, da, 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 you come out. You know the thing about prophecy? A simple gift of prophecy can hit many people and solve many problems at the same time. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we talk about exponential growth. Growth by God's Spirit. Growth by God's Spirit. And the Spirit of God is going to give life to what you do. And going to give it spread. And all the limitations, all the hindrances will be removed. And many will wonder how you got to where you are. It will be so clear to them and to you that God has given you so much spread that you wouldn't have achieved by your own making. And so, growth is coming. It's coming exponentially. In other words, you've been counting 1, 2, 3. But now you will count from 10 to 100. From 100 to 500. Because, yes, there's been progress that you've made in the past. It's been step by step. But now the Lord is trying to get involved in this. And there's going to be exponential growth, exponential spread, exponential reach. That you will not just move from one level to another. You will skip levels. You will jump levels in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of the Lord, it's coming like a mighty wave. Like a mighty wave. It will be minimum effort, but it will have maximum results. It is growth exponentially. It will be clear to everyone that there is an extra force working behind the scene. Working behind the scene. Working behind the scene. It shall be said concerning you, like was said of Obed-Edom, that the ark of God stayed in his house for 3 months, and then he prospered beyond measures. So get set to grow. Get set for growth in your business. Get set for growth in your career. It shall come exponentially. You've made one or two progress, but now there's going to be an explosion. And it will have an exponential growth, says the Spirit of the Lord. And if you receive those words, you pray with them now. Pray with them now for just a few minutes. Pray with them. Pray with them. Pray with them. Pray with them. Pray with them.
Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Limitations are removed. Limitations are removed. Limitations are removed. Things that have hindered, things that have stopped, things that have kept you at a spot, they are removed now. Because I saw in the spirit, I saw a turtle, and it's just moving gradually like that. And the Lord is saying, those days of that tortoise movement has come to an end. For it's time to now begin to run, and I saw a deer. It's time to begin to run as a deer. And you ask, how is it going to happen? The hand of God is going to come upon you and give you that spread, that reach, and help you to achieve much more than you've ever achieved. And someone is asking, how shall these things be? He said, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and the hand of the Most High shall rest upon you. And that which was said to be impossible of man will be impossible with God, says God and His Spirit. Says God and His Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Mercy. Yes. Mercy. 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 For you I'm talking to. Yes. You mess things up around your business and your career by your own carelessness. And it's been haunting you for a very long time. But the Lord said it's going to come to you by His mercy. By His mercy. And even the things that you messed up with your own hands, He will fix by His own hands. And yes, by His mercy, He's going to reach out to you. And so stop thinking that you wouldn't make much progress because you've blown your chances. He said there are many more chances coming. And it will be a working of the mercy. Of the mercy of God. So mercy is coming and you're enjoying leverages of mercy. Because God is bringing His mercy your way to intervene even where you've done things wrong by your own hands. By your own hands. By your own hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Yes. Sit. Have your seat. Let's see if we can tidy this up already. So that's the gift of prophecy in operation. When it comes like that, it can solve many problems at once. Yes. And once you have a trained audience, they will pick what God is saying them at different times. The different things I said came to different people at different times. And you got, and if you are wise, you can, see what I'm trying to show you. If you are wise, you can run with what I just said. What I'm trying to show you is this. A man of God does not always have to walk up to you and call your name and describe whatever before you know that God is reaching out to you. When God is coming to His church by general prophecy like that, you have your portion in it. Have your portion in it. Amen. There are also places where we give personal prophecies to people. That's that part too. And whenever I give personal prophecies to you, don't always expect that it's going to have details, forensic. If it has, fine. But it doesn't mean, sometimes a man, somebody can speak to you by simple prophecy, no detail, nothing. If you are smart enough, catch it and run with it. What will happen to you? You will be edified. You will be exhorted. You will be comforted. You will be strengthened. You will learn. You'll be able to go again. You'll be able to attempt new things. Amen. Hallelujah. So how do I flow in the gift of prophecy? I'm already showing you how. Once you are praying, or once you're that's why I'm going to show you how to get better with it. Once you are praying in tongues, or you are just studying the word, or you are just meditating on the word of that, and that word begins to rise, maybe that, what I said, that leading thought begins to rise in your spirit and all of that. Pick it and begin to speak it. It's as simple as that. Begin to voice it. But many of you, the kind of prophecy that you grew up knowing is where somebody is going to fall down and begin to scatter the seeds. Amen. Now, people that do that, there's nothing wrong with them. The only thing they need is to grow. Because you have to realize, as you're scattering seeds, that you can say as a scratch, you can also say it.
when it just comes on you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. What that means is prophecy doesn't just have to carry you and take over your senses for you to be able to give it. As you grow, you find out that I just stood here and gave this one. That's why we must learn to value spiritual things. Because the spiritual things are not always spectacular. Because why people will not take what I just said here seriously? Not you, because you are trained. Why people will not take that seriously is because I was just talking and I was speaking and just walking up and down. And you know, when I feel in spirit, I like being as calm as possible. Because I'm also teaching you in the process. But if I had just fallen to the ground and said to him, Yaro, Yerere, hey, Shumasha, Shumasha, my people, you would have taken me serious. I get the point. Did you observe the words I gave did not come in any King James English? You don't have to be dramatic. You can give prophecy in Igbo. Thou shall arise, thou shall expand, and thus says the Lord. All of that. You know, thus says the Lord is the same thing as saying, this is what God is saying. Same thing. Because, you know why am I saying this? All this pressure that you put on yourself, that's why I don't flow with spiritual things very well. You don't even value what God is saying through you. God gives a simple word, you go to the person and say, you know, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say now. You go to the person and say, you know, God is helping you. He's extending His help towards you. You understand? And He's going to preserve your lot. Nothing of yours will be lost. Amen. Now, someone else comes to give this same word to pastors. Now, you spoke this way because this is how you are. This is your temperament. This is your understanding of English language. Someone comes to him and says, ah, man of God, thus says the Lord, thou shalt not lose what has been divinely ordained and orchestrated for you of the Lord. He shall go the extra mile to see that your Lord is secured, preserved, and kept for you, secluded in a place of beyond reach. You know, all of these things, he's speaking the way he's speaking because he might be a poet. Naturally, you get the point. It doesn't take away the simplicity of the word I also give. If that's how you are, there's nothing wrong talking like that. If that's how you are, you know that people are just like that. People are very complicated. It's nothing wrong. You know, if some of these guys that are songwriters want to give you a word, they can give you a word that has rhymes, you know. Now, it doesn't make their own more authentic than what you are giving. As the word just comes, give it like that. The end point is that God is going to preserve His lot. So all those other, He will keep it in a place beyond reach and decay. He shall seclude it for you and exclude it for you. And you see, you're already loving it. It is always simple like that. The person will be edified. You know, sometimes walking up to somebody and telling the person, I just sense pressed in my spirit to say to you that God loves you. That can be everything. That's why ushers have to develop themselves very well in the gift of prophecy. Very, very well. So that your welcome of people every time they come to church and when they're leaving church is beyond, welcome, thank you for coming to church today. No. You know, you can just shake someone. I say, sometimes the normal, thank you, Holy Ghost. Sometimes the regular compliment ushers give people. You can give someone a particular compliment that will resonate with that person so much. Imagine someone has spent the whole week feeling ugly. Maybe he just lost a relationship. Where the proper said, not only will you not will I not date you? Nobody will ever. You are so ugly. Have you looked at yourself? You know that auntie has entered the person. She just came into church that day looking. I just look at the person and said, wow, you're welcome. You're so beautiful. And that's prophecy. it can be. The person pauses and says, I just find that blush. Some might even start crying. I've done this live in my office.
Somebody just came in and said, I gave a compliment, person started crying. I said, what did I say wrong? She said, you understand, you understand. That's only what brought me.
So I solved that problem before she came in. You get the point?
And that is speaking mightily by the Spirit. It doesn't just have to be dramatic. Say, oh, yeah, that's why you see why prophecy is the most important that should function when we gather. When we gather, it can edify, it can encourage. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Inspired utterance is such a blessing. And you know what? You have it. You have it. You have it. Use it anyhow, every time. Sometimes you're praying with someone and the word comes, give it. It doesn't have to carry any special. If it carries special revelation, fine. It doesn't have to carry anything special. It can just be 10 lines. It can be 50. Sometimes you can prophesy for 1 hour actually. Yes. It's growth. Just prophesying, speaking by the Spirit constantly for 1 hour. Sometimes you can just prophesy for 3 minutes. End point is that somebody is going to be edified. And I'm not talking about thinking of things in your head. Inspired utterance. You know, when it's just what you think up in your head, it's not going to change anything. Do you understand? It's not that. It's by the Spirit. That's why in counseling, it's actually very important that you're a prophetic person. We are counseling people. So when you sit down with them, you are saying things that are wondering, did somebody tell you about me yesterday? You know, that sometimes I preach here. Not sometimes, every day, even today, when I preach, every time. Sometimes I digress to talk about something you thought about yesterday. I wonder, who told this one about me? That's the gift of prophecy and oppression. Inspired utterance. Amen. I think Brother Daniel had the first day he came to church was a Thursday. And immediately you came in. I've not, you know, him. I just began to give a word of a prophecy about love, yes. And then he was in a chain of plenty, bitter things happening. I just came up and just started thinking, you know, I began to speak prophetically about love. Give prophecy. Some of you may not remember that day. That's why sometimes mighty things are happening when we gather like this. You get the point? And that was, he just walked in. I just carried the mic. First thing I said, we're going to speak prophecy by the Spirit. Forgive. Bitterness will take you further than just. It's Thomas Impostor has been telling us all the time. But at that point, it was an inspired utterance. And it was directed at. Many people have that same story here. I didn't get the point. Yeah. Glory to God. I say hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you know that God is working mightily in our midst whenever we gather? It may not always be dramatic. We may not always have to scatter the seeds. But God is working mightily here. Yeah. So whenever those inspired words drop your spirit, please speak them. Release them. Release them. So let me say three things. How do you get better with flowing in prophecy and all of that? Because I want to see if I can close this today. One, stay on God's word. Read, study, meditate. You see that thing called meditation? It's one of the biggest ways to flow in prophecy. You see, meditation is one of the biggest ways. If you stay meditating on God's word, you always have prophetic words to give. Always. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. When it dwells richly in you, what will it produce? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So all these spiritual songs thing, the secret is let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. So whenever you see, you know, that sometimes, I can tell you, sometimes you just come to the parlor, you just see me seated. And a meeting is coming up. Say, you're not sleeping yet. I said, I'm walking. Sometimes I'm just walking. My notes is before me. I'm just seated. Sometimes for 1 hour. As she has learned, I'm actually walking. Sometimes I'm just looking at my Bible, just seated. Going over the word of God in my spirit. That is one of, that I told you guys this before. My most consistent spiritual activity is meditation. Yeah. I don't think there's another spiritual thing I do more than meditation on the word. Even as I'm driving. How many of you have ever seen me walking on the road and I'm talking to myself? Yes.
I think it's something I begin to talk about as I go. Sometimes, when I'm done, when before I come here, as I'm preparing for church, I'm preaching whatever I'm going to preach to you, to myself. I'm just turning it over in my head. And you know what? As I'm doing that, I'm going to write. I'll come back, just be talking. Just, yeah, I made this on the word of God alone. It's one of the things that helps. Now, I can tell you, the word of God, because actually what you call prophecy is actually inspired word of God. If you let the word dwell richly in you, you will never be lacking of what to say. And it will be inspired at all times. So, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. The key word here is let. That's the key word. Let means that you are the one that will allow it. It's not injected into you, you allow it. How do you begin to let? You study it. You read it. You confess it. You meditate on it. I turn God's word over and over and over again in my spirit. Over and over again. Over and over again. For instance, I can tell you, a meeting like Zoe now, I have not, talking about preparing messages now, I have not started working on what I'm going to preach to you as Zoe, but I already know, I've been meditating on that thing for a very long time. In my notes, I already have a space I created for Zoe. So every time my meditation on it and something drops, I'm just going to write it there. When the time comes, I begin to organize it. You see, meditation on God's word, you will never lack what to say. Hide God's word in your heart. You know, this thing I'm going to teach you is this. Whether you meditate on God's word or not, you are meditating on something every time. I'm just trying to ask you to be deliberate with it. If you don't meditate on God's word, you're meditating on something. There's something you're thinking about at every time. There is rarely any moment your mind is blank. Rarely. Some of you imagine things, don't you? I ever sat down for like 1 hour imagining crazy things. You just catch yourself when you're imagining rubbish. That thing you are doing unconsciously, is what I'm trying to ask you to do consciously now. Put God's word in your heart and turn it over and over again. Hide it in your heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. Just turn it over and over again in your mind. Amen. It might just be something you read in the Bible, something pastor said in church. I'm just going over it. That's something I don't do with my mind. I've acted Jesus, all the miracles of Jesus. Sometimes, have you ever acted drama in your mind? It's like your imagination. And later, it plays out like that in the physical. Has that happened to you? I'm telling you. You just start finish playing that, playing, and just, the things now happen, you'll be like, wow. You know, my spiritual father posted something like this recently. He posted a picture. That was yesterday also. And he said this picture, because he made a gesticulation in that picture. He said this is funny because sometimes when they snap pictures after a meeting, he sees those pictures and he remembers that he, in his personal time, he, as he's meditating and even preaching to himself and walking up and down, he makes those gesticulations, all those things that he does in his room, he goes to the stage and sees those things playing out. I've meditated this church now, everything happening now, I've attended this status of light in my spirit for a very long time before today. I'm telling you sincerely. It's all here. I stay on the word. And that's why when you fill your mind with God's word, it is to flow in the prophetic. It's easy. Because again, it's the word of God. It's already in your heart. You just split that and be giving. And be giving. That's why I can actually preach to you for 2 hours without a note. Don't play. I can do it. 2 hours without a note. Without opening my notes. Some of you see me when you come to my house sometimes, come around me and ask one question, I can start talking. Talk. 30 minutes, 1 hour. And if you are taking notes, you can fill 2 pages. I'm just talking. No topic. It's just flowing. So as I'm talking, some of you wonder how I do that. I can just be talking to you and I tell you. For instance, there are 4 things you must do. And I give you the 4 of them. And I'm wondering, did you plan that you're going to tell me this thing before? No. It was at that moment, I just got to know there are 4 things about this. And I begin, sometimes when I say the first, I don't know the last one. I'm not joking. I know what I'm saying. Fill your heart with God's word. Hallelujah. So number 1, I said, Stay on the word. Stay on the word. And pray in the spirit a lot. I don't think I have to say that. I have to tell you that. Pray in the spirit a lot. A lot. And then let me say the last one of our time. Always prophesy. There is no gift of the spirit that you can do better with if you don't do it all the time. Paul says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 14 that you should seek to excel. Paul said this particular one, you should seek to excel in it. So you should actually seek to excel. Prophesy all the time. Every time that word drops in your spirit, speak it, give it. Every time it drops. Because sometimes you're the one holding yourself back. And you know the thing, prophecy is so powerful that sometimes that thing you are holding yourself back might be what is missing in somebody's life. That may be what will save your neighbor from trouble. That may be what will save his business. Maybe now I spoke about businesses and, you know, about exponential growth and all that. And talking about the fact that if you've made mistakes about the message of God to come, maybe someone was almost at the verge of shutting down his business because he feels he has messed up a lot of things. By that message now, he can pick up. 3 years later, he's a big brand in the country. It was that your prophetic word that saved that business. That's why I'm going to close by saying to you, one of the best places you should be is the gathering of the saints. Yeah. It's one of the biggest blessings we have when we gather. The fact that words go forth and they strengthen, they encourage, they edify. They edify. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The word of God is working in me. And it's actually working in you for real. Amen. Amen. Every time I stand here to give prophetic word, even if it happened this evening. Okay, let me see. How many of you, when I was speaking a few minutes ago, those prophecies, you cried? Yes. You always, you know, what happens is, I've seen it all the time. I may not know what I'm talking about, but once I begin to say it, you know why they cry sometimes? It's resonate. It's just, it means something. It is this assurance that so God knows about this matter. So God knows that this is happening. And we are all encouraged, we are all edified. See why it should happen again and again in the church. So while I know you want to raise that and heal the sick, please excel to the edifying of the church. Excel here. You're going to help a lot of believers. You're going to help a lot of your friends. I've met people trying to go write exam. I didn't know they were going to write exam. And I just come as after church. I'm just walking up and down. So how are you doing? Ah, you know, sometimes crazy compliments. Ah, this girl is very smart. Very, very smart. And sometimes that is all the person needs at that moment. See, you know that the truth is that I actually have an exam coming up tomorrow and I've been so scared. And I just know this way. I say, well, God wants you to know that you've worked hard and you are going to excel. It's those words that come to your heart. So if you give your mic to talk, speak by the Spirit. You will edify many. You encourage many. The Spirit amongst us must not always look spectacular. But they are always supernatural. Always. That's why if you're going to function in the pastoral ministry, I want to say something that are going to be pastors and are pastors already. You must kill your appetite for spectacular things. Because a church built on spectacular things will not give room for members to grow. If every time we come here, we are lifting seats, dropping things, doing whatever, people will always be, you know what, you've created an appetite for spectacular happenings in them. And that's what is big, a room that doesn't give room for growth. You see, there is so much decorum that can be decorum absolutely in spiritual things. But people are getting blessed. While you are seated there, just hold your neighbor's hand. Hold your neighbor's hand while you are seated there. Please pray the Holy Ghost while you are seated. Just while you are seated. I just saw that in the spirit now. Pray. The Father has said, doesn't children affect your prayer temple? Pray.
Oh, glory to God. Hear this. The land is green. The land is green. The visions and the plans that you've been trying to execute, and you've been wondering, will it work? Will it not work? I saw the land green. And Lord is saying, if I have convinced you about this, go forth and carry it out. Because the land is green. The harvest is ripe. It may not look ripe. It may not look green. But then I've convinced you in your heart about this. So go forth. The land has been prepared. The land is green for you. So go and begin to make your harvest. Do not walk by sight, says the Lord. Do not walk by what you see. Because yes, Lot looked and saw the plain of Sodom. And the land was green. But it was not actually green. Abraham didn't choose the green place in the physical. But actually he chose the best of places. And I'm going to tell you, don't look by sight, says the Lord. The land is green. But it's not green and it will also be green to your sight. But once you find that green light in your spirit, follow it. For it is green, though not to men on the outside, but to men, to your spirit man. And I'm talking specifically about the business line you've been trying to get into. And you've been thinking, will it work, will it not work? God has spoken to you, but you are convinced about it. But there are always doubts, because people are saying this and this. Do not follow sight, follow the spirit. Because the land is green. The land is green. And I'm just saying all of this to say, it's going to work. Hold that your neighbor again. Talk to that person. 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 Oh, so much. So much. Woo, glory. Shadede da dengrabataya. Zuleda e galia grabatun de la pa. Shokoko bratititi valeke keke pakombra kakaya. Woo. Get the mic. Sing anything. Sing anything.
You are the reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me.
After the song, that's a song of encouragement to your spirit. You're going to sing it.
You are the reason I live. You're the one for me, God. You're just the very one for me. And why should I fear when I have you? I'm surrounded by your love, your everlasting love. And why should I care what people say? 'Cause they don't know what you mean to me. They don't know what you mean to me. Out of the ashes,
yes,
of my dying today, I see the breaking of a brand new day.
Oh, Kalada Barakunata.
in which the name of the Lord our God is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. Out of the ashes of my dying today, I see the breaking of a brand new day.
Shabalata Korandalataya,
in which the name of the Lord our God is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day, in which the name of the Lord our God is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. Cause I know that you're faithful. Lord, you're faithful. Ooh. You're faithful. Lord, you're faithful. And I praise you, cause you are my strength and my reward. I'm lost without you. Your love pulls me through. My life is available to you. I'm lost without you. Your love pulls me through. My life is available to you.
You know, the Lord said to me now, concerning your meetings away. Yes. It will be a gathering of not so perfect people that will come from all over the place. But the Lord is going to produce. He said your biggest testimony from Zoe this year will be that men who were weak became strong. Men who were tired began to run. Men who were written off came to light. It will be a gathering of people that they've said there is no hope for them. And somehow they will rise and from there begin to grow. Zoe will be a landmark meeting that people will look back and remember that this was where the journey began from. This was where they took off from. Zoe will be that meeting that I've planned, said the Lord, to gather people and to prepare them and to release them. And so says for the Lord, don't stop praying. Pray some more. Pray much more. For there will be a lot of things that will happen that will try to stop people I've ordained it with you for from coming there. But in prayer, you shall take those things down before they even come. So stay in prayer. Stay prayed up. And I'm going to make all the resources available. Because this is not just your meeting, says the Lord. This is my meeting. It's not just what you want to do. It's actually what I want to do. So I will go ahead of you to make these things available, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, you bless this evening. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands. Pray. Just wave your hands all over this place. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just 1 minute. Akaradenda rabateya. Just pray. Just pray like that. There is so much that happened here in the past few minutes. I know some of you knew it. There's a song I want us to do. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great?
This is my desire. To pour my love on you, like wine upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I pour my love on you. It brings like a view. Our love is shining on you. Till every drop is gone. I pour my love like wine upon your feet. Like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I pour my love on you. It brings a sigh of fear. Our love is mine on you. Till every drop is gone. I pour my love.
Put this song with me.
Say, Jesus, I love you with all of my heart. I adore you. I'm the reason why you came to die. I praise you. Your heartless love comes for death. Jesus, I love you with all of my heart.
Please sing with me.
Say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you with all of my heart. I adore you. I'm the reason why you came to die. I praise you. Your matchless love can compare. Jesus, I love you.
Read two more times. Can we love on Jesus this evening?
Say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you.
Please sing with me all over this place.
Lord of my heart.
Say, I adore you.
I adore you.
I'm the reason why you came to die.
I'm the reason why you came to die. I praise you. Your matchless love.
I can't.
Because I love you with all of my heart.
For the last time,
say, Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
I love you
with all of my heart.
Say, I adore you.
I adore you. I'm the reason why you came to die. I praise you. You're my master, Lord. I can't hold back. Jesus, I love you with all of my heart.
Take 1 minute and love on Jesus this evening all over this place. Just 1 minute and love on him. Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. Hey, Abarata, I'm the reason why you came to die. And I praise you, your matchless love, I can't compare. And Jesus, I love you with all of my heart. Oh Jesus, I love you with all of my heart. Karamandola Pai. And I adore you. I'm the reason why you came to die. Ah, I praise you. Your matchless love I can't compare. Jesus, I love you with all of my heart. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst, Lord. Just we don't take it for granted. We know it's getting better. We are open for more. Thank you, Father, for all the encouragements, all the comfort, all the edification this evening. We are open for more. And we know with as we progress, you are making our hearts stronger. You are making us better. We are grateful to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Be grateful to you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.